everyone. Welcome to the call. This is Kurt Mortensen. Today is, what is today, October 7th. As you can tell, my voice is not very good today. I've been battling a flu, and I'm feeling better, but it doesn't sound like my voice is. Although I'm doing better, we're on the call. We're going to continue on with trust. So hopefully you can understand me. I am a little hoarse, but we'll still do the call and take the questions and everything that we normally do. So we have talked about over the last couple weeks, we talked about trust. Last week we talked about character, which is the first C of trust. And today we're going to talk more about the second C of trust, which is competence. Yes, competence. Now, this is a critical thing for most people because this is more of a perception than anything else. You with me? You could be the smartest person in your field. You could be the expert in your field. But if they don't sense that, if they don't see that, if you don't convey that, it really doesn't matter. This is your knowledge, your intelligence, your ability. And you have to understand that you are the expert here. You are the expert. This is your knowledge and ability in a particular area. You don't have to know everything about anything, but your area, you need to be the expert. And true competence comes from lifelong learning and experience, and it kind of exists on many levels. You know, when you see someone from a distance, do they look competent? What do other people say about them? And the thing is people automatically assign competency levels to you when they first meet you. They judge it to themselves. Can they really do it? Can they really do what they think they're going to do? They really do what they say they're going to do? And these assumptions are usually based on external things. It could be your title. It could be your position in the company. It could be your height. Most CEOs, male CEOs, are over 6 foot. How you dress, your demeanor, car you're driving, electronic devices you use, all these things have a perception of credibility. If you're still using one of those old brick cell phones, that would probably hurt your credibility. If they were talking about Windows and computers and you didn't know what that was, or the internet, that probably would hurt your credibility too. So these are the initial perceptions. Can you really do what they say you can do? Can you deliver? Does your audience really think you have the skills and knowledge and the resources? Now, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. Now, the biggest thing I want to point out here is you are the expert. Start acting like it. You'd probably know and should know more than 99% of the people out there than your specific area. You are the expert. And when you come across as the expert, there's no persuasion resistance. I hope you caught that. Let me repeat that. When you are the expert, there is no persuasion resistance. Why would they? You're the expert. You know what's best for them. So that's why this is so important. You are the expert. And one of the key ways here, of course, is being a lifetime learner. I'm a big advocate of personal development, and this is something you every day. Brian Tracy uses the example that personal development is like a bucket with a hole in it. You just got to keep filling it up. I don't think you'd want to go to a brain surgeon that hasn't gone to a class in the last 10 years. We value those that are always learning and are up to speed on their industry. And we've all had, say, for example, salespeople bluff their way through the questions, pretend they know. I've been at a computer store. That must be my voice. Anyway, gone to a computer store, and I know more than the salesperson about the product or service, although they pretend to know more. So you need to know this. You need to have a good personal development program. But these are the painful numbers. I'm a big advocate of reading, obviously. But did you know that 58% of U.S. adults will never read a book after high school? That 42% of college graduates will never read another book after they graduate from college? That 80% of U.S. families didn't buy or read a book last year? And 70% of U.S. adults have not been to a bookstore in the last 5 years. We know that's an issue, but I'm just telling you, there's a one-to-one relationship between your income and your personal development program. And as success expert Brian Tracy says, if you read 30 minutes every day in your field after 5 years, you'll become a national authority in your field. So I hope everyone can understand me. I'm just getting past the flu, so let me know if you don't. But let's talk about this personal development, different ways to do that. Contrary to popular belief, what you don't know will hurt you. You look at most million-dollar homes, they have a library. Harvard study shows that those who are learning and growing every day, the more optimistic about life, the more enthusiastic about where they're going and what they're going to accomplish. But those who aren't learning and growing every day become negative, pessimistic, and very, very cynical. This is the thing. You've never arrived. So be listening to CDs in your car, education materials on your iPod, read the books. And the dangerous phrase for most people here is the phrase, I'll figure it out on my own, which has probably cost you millions. That's not how successful people think. Now, if you want to learn how to garden, figure it out on your own. Books, and I hate to say this as an author, but the chances of you reading a book all the way through and applying one thing from it is less than 1%. You know, a book is theory, but the actual application, you can read how to play basketball from a book with the actual application. So I'd still read the books, I'd still go to the seminars. Mentors, we notice with top persuaders, they're reinvesting 5-10% of their income back into their personal development program. And that was an eye-opener for me. I was running, doing some internet stuff, internet marketing, and there was a seminar that came up in New York. It was like $10,000 for a 3-day. I'm thinking, whoa, I don't know. But it was going to teach me everything I needed to know, but it was in New York, far away, a plane ticket. All the hotels in New York are expensive. And my friend was asking me about what I was doing. I told him about this. He says, no wonder you're broke. I said, excuse me? Isn't it going to teach you everything you need to know to be successful? Isn't it going to teach you you make 10 times more than you're going to make? And I said, well, yeah. He's like, well, duh. And I went. And it changed my income dramatically. But we have to kind of pick and choose here as far as, all right, what's your best type of personal development program for you? CDs in your car is important. Always reinvest in yourself. That's critical, critical to your success. Part of that, too, is always having a great coach or mentor. You look at the weakest area of your life, so you need to have mentors there. But let's talk about some ways that you can increase your competence, the external ways. Hoping my voice will last here. Again, this is perceived more than anything. We see college professors all the time that are the smartest people in their field, but they just don't come across that way. Even if your office is messy, let me give you an example. They did a study with college students where they went to a professor's office, and it was messy, and they were waiting for an interview, but the professor never came, so they sent them to the class. The other half of the students came to a very clean office, the professor never came, they sent them to the class. And they evaluated over the whole semester. At the end of the semester, they had to evaluate this professor. The ones that were in the messy office, they gave them smaller levels of competence just by the look of their office. We judge. We know we judge. And that's one. Is your office messy? Now, you probably know where everything is, but I'm just telling you, outside people will judge you. That's just how it is. Degrees on the wall. That's one way to do it. That works more for, say, lawyers and doctors, but that's important to have different degrees on the walls. If you have any type of professional standing or an affiliation with a respected organization that they would know, that would be important. Any type of publication or ebook or any type of thing that you've written there gives you credibility. Obviously, your reputation gives you credibility, your external surroundings. And there's also that perception there of your external surroundings. Let me give you an example. When you go into a law office, what are you expecting to see?
Actual books.
Lots of books. Did you know most of those books are now fake? Have you guys noticed that? I guess probably maybe you don't notice that. But the expectations there, because everything's done on CD-ROM now, okay? So they put up these fake books, a lot of them. They look real, and that's all they need. So that's another thing. What's another thing when you go into a law office?
Fancy furniture.
Yeah, fancy furniture. And what color's the wood?
Dark wood.
Yeah, it's dark wood. And that's kind of the expectation. Versus, on the flip side, when you go to an antique store, we tell them, don't arrange everything, because when you go to the antique store, the expectation it's a treasure hunt, they want everything everywhere. If you go to a sporting goods store, you want to feel like Michael Jordan. You know, they have different videos playing. If you ever go to a Nike Town, for example, what about if you went to a hospital? What are you expecting to see and smell?
Clean.
Yeah, clean. You'd probably be concerned if the walls are painted black. probably wouldn't stay very long. You know, a clean smell is important. And part of that, too, when you talk about atmosphere, is, and this is kind of going sidetracked from competency, is when people are rushed, it affects their decision-making process. Let me give you another study. This is called the Good Samaritan Study. They went to a group of priests that were going to school to become priests. They asked them, why do you want to become a priest? Well, I want to help out certain people. I want to be a good person. I said, okay. And they had everyone prepare a 20-minute talk on the Good Samaritan. If you know the Bible, Good Samaritan is someone was beat up and this person helped them out. So the first batch, they said, you better hurry up. They're going to start any minute. They're expecting you. You got to get there now. And wouldn't you know, on the way, they were walking to this event, there was somebody in the gutter in a bad way. Now, what percent do you think stopped to help this person?
None.
It was 10%. Mm. So very, very low. Very, very low. Because, you know, when you're rushed, sometimes you don't even see these things. Now, on the flip side, when they said, you have a lot of time, you might as well leave now, you want to get there in plenty of time. When they said that, and that was the only difference, it went from 10% to 63%. So a lot of times when people feel rushed, it does affect their decision-making capabilities quite a bit. So external surroundings is critical. And this is what I have a lot of people do. I've had, if people are coming to your website or they're coming to your office, you're kind of blinded to what they see. When they come into, what does it really look like? And when I have people videotape walking into their office and the walls and going back to where they would sit down, say, for an adjustment, people are shocked because they don't realize it because they don't see it anymore. So I would show your website to other people, make sure it looks credible. I would show, you know, take a videotape and take a look at it yourself. It's just a whole different view when you videotape it versus when you look at it yourself because people are judging your surroundings. They're judging your surroundings, and that's something that can be easily done. Another thing, too, is to have a definite opinion. Not about everything. We have plenty of people that have definite opinions about everything, but about your expertise. If you hem and haw about your expertise, it will hurt your competence, bottom line. So if it's politics or other things that you're really, really not important to, have that definite opinion. It goes a long way. So competence is a lifelong thing, okay? Very important that you understand that, again, what you don't know will hurt you. And it's all about sharpening the axe. So do you really know your product and service, their weaknesses and strengths? Do you know the advantages and disadvantages? Do you know what your competitors are doing? Do you know why people buy from you? That's an important question. You would want to know that. Why are they buying from you? Why are they coming to your website? Why do they want to do real estate with you? Do you know about, you know, pricing and warranties and product lines and financial terms, guarantees? Whatever it is, that is all a sign of competence. Very important that it's something that simple. Now, one word to the wise before it opened up to questions. And I think we talked about this about 6 weeks ago, if I remember right. But when somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer, we have to be very, very careful. Okay? Now, sometimes you get to say, I don't know, but if they expect you to know the answer, you better have an answer. Now, I'm not talking about making things up. I'm not talking about lying. How can you save face in that situation when you don't know the answer and they expect you to know the answer? Any ideas?
You know, find out.
Yeah, maybe you can say, you know, that's a great question. I'll get with my team and I'll get you the exact answer. That could be one. What else?
Could you give me some more information about your question?
Yeah. Ask a few more questions. It gives you a lot more time to think. You can have them restate the question. You can say, you know, that's a great question. You know, I have some, I have a report that I can send you. Give them the email. It's taken us off course. I can fax it to you later. You can throw it back to them sometimes. That's a great question. What do you think? But a lot of times you can buy yourself a little time. Kids, sometimes you're going to say, I don't know, but if they expect you to know the answer, be careful. And this might be as simple as, you know, I have a great, I got a great article on that. Can I send that to you? Give me your email address. So you either find one or write one and send it to them, and especially if it's that point where you're teetering on the trust level and on the competency level, to make sure that you don't lose that. Again, it's a perception. This one more than the others to you is a perception. So this week for your homework, I want you to take a look at your personal development program. I want you to identify your greatest weakness. Maybe you've already done this, and find a way to make that into a strength. It could be additional books, it could be CDs, it could be seminars, it could be mentors, whatever it is. I recommend all of them because they all kind of do different things to you as far as your growth. And that's the key, is as you get mentored, you will be a mentor. That's how success grows. Look at Robert Allen and Mark Victor Hansen and others. They always mentor. They're always getting mentored. Donald Trump mentors and gets mentored. Oprah mentors and gets mentored. That's kind of the success cycle. So you find your area of expertise, and eventually you'll be mentoring other people, maybe even writing books, maybe even doing seminars and some different things. So think about that this week. Find out what your weakness is, number one. And then number two, if you have a website or an office, just print out the website and show it to somebody. Get their honest opinion. And if you walk into an office, videotape it and watch it later on a TV away from the situation, I think it'll be kind of shocking for what you actually see. The piles of papers you didn't see, the crooked picture you didn't see, the peeling paint you didn't see, things that could decrease credibility. Okay? Wow. Sorry about my voice. I made it through, though. Are there any questions about what we talked about today or questions you have in general? Anybody?
So, Kurt, as far as competence is concerned, the biggest component of your describing it today would be the personal development and the fact that you don't ever want to stop learning.
That, and then the external perceptions, too. You know, how you dress. The two big factors are you're always learning, and that comes across in your kind of your demeanor and how you look. And then two, the car you drive. There was a study done in San Francisco to where they put a clunker car, and the light would turn from red to green, and they would measure how long it took people to honk. And when it was a clunker, guess how fast they were.
Instantly.
Immediate.
Instant. Yeah, milliseconds, right? Milliseconds. But when they put a Rolls Royce up there, guess what happened?
Waited.
They waited longer. I'm not saying that's right. That's the external thing. So the two big factors here are your external characteristics. Now, I wouldn't drive your Rolls Royce to the farm that's going to foreclosure, obviously. But you want to make sure you're a couple steps above them and the way you dress and, you know, and how you're coming across. So I say yes to personal development, and the second one to add to that is the external characteristics is a big factor in that. Okay. Is there another question?
Could I ask you a question about something that was in the news this last week?
Sure.
It was President Obama and Oprah and the First Lady went to try to get the Olympics in Chicago. They are obviously trying to persuade. What do you think went wrong?
Oh, wow. well, I'm very neutral in politics because there's so many emotions involved. People don't think straight.
Yeah, I don't want to get political, but this
political,
is the idea.
What I noticed, is that here they go, like they're all that. They go to Switzerland. What was it, Switzerland? Right?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, okay, here we go to Copenhagen, like, almost like they're all that, and the United States doesn't have the best reputation. And then if you listen to their speeches, it was all about them, and how, why the women should come in against
them. It was arrogance then?
A little arrogance, and it was all, I mean, if they didn't put themselves in the Olympic Committee's shoes. They don't care about them, I mean, really. I mean, it's not their president, right? And so they came across, both of them were very, it's me, you know, it's my town, I want to walk out my door. And I think it came across as very arrogant and condescending. And they didn't do they made the persuasion mistake 101, which is, what's in it for me? And the answer was, nothing. They didn't give one good, valid reason why I should pick that, and that showed because the United States was the first to get kicked out.
Okay.
They were teetering. That was a statement. So that's what I, just from what I've seen, is they didn't, they just made the biggest persuasion mistake there, is that they didn't know their audience, they didn't cater to their audience, and they came across like they didn't care about their audience. That's my 2 cents anyway.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions?
Well, actually, just for a second to piggyback on what you were saying, the other side of that equation is why Rio won, perhaps, was because they were so emotional. You know, you're always talking about emotion trumping facts and statistics.
They were very emotional. I think it's almost like a scarcity factor. I don't want to call it scarcity, but it's never been to South America. Because if you look at the decision logically, Chicago's a better city than Rio. Okay? I love Rio, but when I go down there, I'm scared to death sometimes. It's not a very safe city. But, you know, logically, Chicago was probably a better choice. But let me say, never been to South America. They were very emotional. It was a different appeal. And emotions are much more contagious than the logical appeal that the Obamas gave. I don't know if it was even logical. It was more just kind of a speech.
Yeah.
So, good point. Good point. Any other questions? So the main thing, external characteristics, and then, of course, how you dress is part of this, how you look is part of this. Next week, we're going to go more into the next season. We're going to get into confidence, credibility, how to borrow credibility when you don't have any, and then, of course, congruence will be the next season that we're going into. So we can just do it step by step, and you can think a little bit of these every week, and you can learn to apply them, and the meat seed that you add means the more trust that you will develop. All right? Any other last-minute questions? All right. Can't apologize for the voice, but anyway, hopefully it'll be better next week, and we'll go into the next sea of trust.
Hope you feel better.
All right, thanks. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.